Welcome to everyone who's watching online. We're going to continue today in this teaching in James. We're going to start reading in James chapter 4. Just to kind of get a running start here, let's go ahead and read from verse 1. Again, James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Hallelujah. So let's pick up where we left off. Verse 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Very interesting and powerful declaration that's made here. Whoever then wants to be a friend of the world is made an enemy of God. So if you're lusting for the things of the world, you're an enemy of God, or warring against God. And when your flesh is at odds with your spirit, you are warring with your own spirit and warring with God. All the while, the Holy Spirit is there wanting both your flesh and your spirit to be in submission to Him. Amen? Hallelujah. As I prepared for this and read through this, it's interesting. When you start going through something and you can pull out one scripture and think it says something, but if you look at the context of it before and after, you start seeing other things. This verse here, when people read through it, there is an inclination to focus on natural adultery. However, if you look at the context and the next verse, you'll see that he's talking about something deeper. He's speaking more specifically about spiritual adultery. Verse 5 says, do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Or another version says, yearns jealousy. God's spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, is jealous to have us to himself. He doesn't want us to have anyone or anything before him. Amen? James, Yaakov, is constantly reminding his people of some pretty serious things. Some pretty heavy things. Things that they already know. As I read through this, stopped. Prayed. I've got a little echo up here. It reminded me of something. The Lord reminded me of something. Have you ever had to be reminded of something? Those of us who are married, has your spouse ever reminded you of something? I'm going somewhere with this. You'll laugh a little more as we continue. And you know, there's a thin line between reminding and nagging. Is that about right? But recently I came to a realization about something. I love it when the Lord, when he makes an example of, you know, someone else. You know, the brother or sister over here that everyone knows needs help. You know what I'm talking about? Not you or me, them. You know who I'm talking about? But he reminded me of something. When Stacy and I are out driving, I find myself more and more daydreaming. Interesting. This is something recently that I just... And so it got to the point where I was missing turns, freeway exits, shopping center entrances. Just because, you know, when we're actually out, we work all day together. So we're out of the house and out of the office and out. It's like, I can just freewheel and just... And we live in the mountains and have to drive down to Fresno, so we've got a half-hour drive just to get down here. And so knowing this, I asked her to please help me to know if I'm about to miss something. Because I don't want to miss turns. Pretty simple. So as the weeks progressed, I noticed that she would remind me of turns, directions as we were out. And most of the time, she was absolutely right. I was about to miss the turn. However, I'll say that again, however, there were a few times where I was fully aware of the coming turn, where we were going, etc., where I didn't need the reminder, or so I thought. Interesting. We go to the same places, the same drive all the time. There's a lot of repetition, things I already know, but I'm still reminded. And so I ask you, when she reminds me of something that maybe I have forgotten or I'm not paying attention to or plan on doing, etc., how should I feel about it? Should I be thankful for the reminder or offended? Should I be thankful that she is reminding me based on me asking her to remind me about something? That she has no idea whether or not I actually know just before she's about to remind me. And so she runs the risk of offending me because, you know, that makes sense. You can laugh. It's a wonderful time to laugh. And so when Adonai sends you someone to remind you of his word, I implore you not to say inside, I already know that. Or I don't need a reminder. Or I don't want to hear that again. Because that's a sure sign that you need to hear it again. Amen? Through the first three chapters of James, there's a pattern. He continues to remind his people by unction of the Lord of the things they already knew. For thousands of years, they've been taught. Weekly in Shabbat, they would hear. And the Lord sends him to not only remind them, but to have this written down, canonized in the scriptures, for thousands of more years, billions of people would be reminded the same things through the scriptures. Today, we're reminded, we're reading the same things again and being reminded of these same things. Yaakov, the Torah teacher. You don't hear people call him that, but that's basically what he was. He was teaching Torah. He was teaching the Tanakh. He was teaching the law of the Most High. He was teaching the instruction that was given to God, to his people, because he loved them so much that he didn't want to see them fail. He wanted to tell them what to do and help them, whether they wanted to hear it or not, whether they were offended or not by the reminding of it. Amen. Whether or not they felt the same feeling we feel when our spouses remind us of something, and inside we do one of these, but outside we remain calm and smile, knowing full well that that's how they would feel. Hallelujah. In verse 3, God says, being a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Or another way to put it is this. Have you put the things of the world above the things of the Lord? Yaakov has the duty to remind his people of this, which is not fun. You ever have to remind someone or tell someone something you do not want to tell them, and you do not want to be the one who has to tell them? I mean, that's about one of the least desirable positions to be in. So he's asking, have you set up the pleasures of the world as an idol before God? Have you allowed the things of the world to become more important than the things of the Lord? Have you left your first love to commit spiritual adultery with the world, is what he's asking. As we continue through this portion of Scripture, I promise you, I have written here, I want to make sure I put this in here. I promise you, things will get better. Amen? Amen. I won't leave you here quiet. You'll be happy at the end, I promise. How many of you want to hear some good news? Yeah, that didn't sound very... How many want to hear some good news? Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Well, it's coming. Hang in there. Bear with me. There's a question that is often asked that ties into the scripture or scriptures like this. And here's the question. Can you serve Adonai the Most High and have money or have stuff at the same time? I hear multiple things out there. I'll continue. So the answer is simple. And it's this. Yes, you can. However, I will give you two additional questions to ask yourself. Do you have money? Or does money have you? Do you have things? Or do things have you? Something to chew on and pray about. Praise you, Lord. I believe you can have everything you want that God gives you, that lines up with the Word of God, or that He hasn't told you no about. Just guidelines. And I see people all the time who wait their whole life for God to give them the desires of their heart, and rather than acting on these desires and doing their part, they sit motionless and never receive what it is that they desire. And then they blame God for not providing it. I also see people who seek the desires of their heart unrestrained, with no leading of the Holy Spirit, and they end up not happy with what they have. What about believers? Both of these two types of people end up frustrated and not at peace because in different ways, they both do the same thing. They both are not being led by the Lord, by the Ruach. And everyone has stuff in certain areas that, you know, you wish you had done differently or sooner or later or some form of this. But how many of you know God wants balance in these things? Amen. They may think God has blessed the successful person and not me. Or they may accuse the person of ill-gotten gain. Here's a story that Stacy and I talk about all the time that we heard years ago. And we talk about it in all kinds of different forms. But here's what I have written down here. This is a story of a person who invites someone to their house. And in the story, they welcome the person in. They both sit down at the dining room table to talk and to fellowship. The host gets up and goes to get them both something to drink. And the guest notices something that they quickly become fixated with. They notice a beautiful bowl in the center of the table. In the bowl has a variety of perfectly ripened fruit. As the host comes back and sees the guest looking at the fruit, the host says, "Would you like a piece of the fruit?" To which the guest replies, "Oh yes, I'd love a piece of the fruit." As the guest eats the fruit, in their mind they begin to have these type of thoughts. "Wow, this fruit is really good. How come I don't have fruit like this on my table? How come I don't have a house like this or things like this?" Then inside, they begin to get jealous. A few minutes earlier, they were happy and appreciative to enjoy the company, to enjoy the fruit. But instead of continuing in that mode, their flesh begins to rise up and become unsettled. What they didn't realize is this. The host is the same age as they are. Has been through many of the same things that they've been through. Has been serving the same God that they do. But there has been one big difference. The host spent time and money cultivating a small orchard on their property. When the heat came in the summer, the host was outside watering the trees, whereas the guest was certain to stay inside where it was comfortable and cool, where there was no work to be done. When the utility bill went up because of the watering of the orchard, the host sacrificed something else to pay for the water bill, while the guest went and spent the money they had on something that satisfied them and gave them pleasure at the moment. Then when the day came to get together, the host said in their heart, "Let me share what the Lord has blessed me with my friend," and was happy to do so. While the guest not only got to enjoy the fruit of another person's labor, never bothering to bless the host, and in their heart had aught against the host. The host was blessed to be able to be a blessing. This is the story of two people seemingly opposite. I have a scripture here I want to read you. And I did not write where it's from, but I'm going to read it to you because it's a scripture. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And here's the thing. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to this. And this is what I'm getting to. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. He hasn't started someone out with something so much more spiritually than what he started you out with. Some will end up at a place, a higher and different place spiritually than other people. But it's not based on the Lord. It's not solely based on the Lord. The Lord has a perfect will for everyone to follow that will please and satisfy and meet their needs. But everyone must decide. It says in verse 2, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. We get to decide this. He doesn't automatically come in and pull our brains out and our minds out and put something in. He doesn't come and soften our hearts without us deciding to invite him in. Amen. Adonai has blessed each of us. He loves us. He cares for us. And that being said, he's also given specific instruction to each of us. And so I implore each of us to listen to what Adonai is saying to you and do what he is telling you to do. In this story, we saw two different people, two opposite people. And we get to decide to listen to God or not. This is real simple, but it's real profound. And if you don't accept the reminder of this, you'll stay, things will stay just how they are. Or they may get worse, but they won't move you closer to the Lord. That makes sense? We all get to decide whether or not to allow the Lord to cultivate us, water us, prune us, allowing us to bear sweet, ripe, juicy fruit. Not just for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. Hallelujah. Bow your head with me. I want to just pray this out. With every eye closed and every head bowed in reverence to Adonai, I just ask you this, and this is a question I don't want an answer to. This is a question between you and the Lord. Are you putting the Lord first? Serving the Lord is painful to the flesh. It's painful to the will until you sacrifice whatever it is that has become an idol. Until you get rid of whatever is preventing you from serving him. We're all at different places with the Lord. But the most important thing after you receive Yeshua as your Lord and Savior is to continue to keep his commands because we love him. To continue to do what he tells you to do, even when it is painful, uncomfortable, inconvenient. We all have missed it. None of us are perfect. And each of us has a step in front of us to take that may be scary, painful, or difficult, but we must. You want to be happy in life? Do what the Lord told you to do. You want to be happy in life? Serve in the house of the Lord. You want to be happy in life? Give to the things of God, financially, spiritually, your time, your resources. If you get in trouble, run to the house of the Lord. Don't run away from it. Hallelujah. Run to the people who love the Lord who will help you. Don't isolate yourself from them. Stay away from places and people and things that are going to cause you to be the one that's pulled away. Scripture says that the devil, he roams to and fro all over the earth. What is he doing? Do you know one of the worst things in Jewish society that could happen to you? Is that you get removed from the community. And you know, they wouldn't just remove you for something. They'd give you chances and there's, you know, different things, but imagine that. I never want to think about that. I never want to ask to leave somewhere. That's not a good place to be. I never want to be plucked and then just thrown into darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want to come anywhere close to that. You know, I never want to lead anybody to that, to feel like, oh, I can do this, I can do that. No. You need to stay where the Lord puts you. Scripture says an iron sharpens iron. You know, an iron is sharpening iron, it gets hot. It's sharp. It cuts. Hurts. There's a show on TV, they make different type of swords and knives, and they'll put this metal in the fire, and then they'll beat on it. They'll take it to a piece of sandpaper, and you'll see the sparks just flying off of it. But at the end of the episode, someone has this nice, shiny, usable knife, sword. It's not comfortable. It's not comfortable being one in a community that other people know you're under, what's the term I would use, discipline. Not comfortable. But Scripture tells us to bear one another's burdens, to love one another, to help one another, to think the best of one another. Amen? So as long as people continue to come to service and continue to lead, to pursue the things of the Lord, we're always here to help you. Hallelujah. And we're always here to help one another. Amen? Amen. Amen. There are some who come every 6 months or every year, and we just, you know, we want to love on them. We can see they've been out and some wolves have scratched them up and just help and say, don't leave again. Hallelujah. We all need each other. Yaakov, when he was talking to his people, that's what he's telling them. We need each other. I need you to do what the Lord told you to do because it affects me. The community in Israel at the time, this is where all of the word was being, all of the decisions were being made there and sent out. All of them. Scripture says that in the last days, the word of the Lord shall come forth from Zion. Well, that's all tied into this. That's going to happen again in its fullest again. But it all came from there. People were working together and doing things. And I thank God that he did what he did. That he continued on. Amen? So the last thing I have here, if you are at a place where you stop doing what the Lord told you to do, then repent and start afresh right now. Verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Remember I said there was good news coming? You guys ready for it? All right, that's better. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Did that make you guys happy? Are you happy about grace for the humble? Grace for those who diligently seek God? Grace for those who earnestly repent. Hallelujah. Grace for those who are earnestly fighting the good fight of faith in Yeshua to do what he's called us to do. Amen. I love and appreciate coming every week. And as I'm up here, I can see areas where certain people tend to sit all the time. And looking around, I can tell you who's not here just based on that. You know, and I always pray, well, what's going on, Lord? I pray that they're, you know. Eventually, if you're not here long enough, what ends up happening is that somebody else sits in your seat. Somebody else becomes a new face that is seen from up here. And eventually, you fade into a distant memory. Eventually, you won't be remembered at all. The seat that you have is, it's precious and it's priceless. Hallelujah. And I just pray as a congregation, we continue to move forward, doing what the Lord told us to do, being where he called us to be, not offended about getting reminded of things. Hallelujah. You know, we need everyone here. We need everyone, the things that the Lord has continued to call this congregation to do and to be. It takes people. It takes resources. It takes praying. It takes everybody, the whole body, bringing their supply that the Lord has given them to bring. Does that make sense? Continue to do what James is telling them. When he starts writing this, you've had the disciples have been sent out. They're going all over preaching at this point. You have, you know, Paul, he's going to Antioch and he's all these different places in Asia Minor and different places where now he's dealing with, they're starting to deal with the nations. They continue to do this. So Lord, we praise you. We worship you and magnify you. We thank you for this time we spent together. And I pray for your people, Lord. I pray that your people, that they would take heed to your voice. Every week we pray, Shema Israel, that your people would hear, Lord, and take heed and do. So I pray for your people here, Lord, that we would hear, we would take heed, and we would do. So we thank you for this service. And as we go on to Onek, we just thank you for your blessing and your fellowship and everything you're doing, Lord. In the mighty name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen.